Today with Joseph Prince.
The theme of our church, to see no one but Jesus only. No matter how illustrious Elijah may be, no matter how great Moses may be, saw no one but Jesus only. Now the Father just said, hear him. Moses was there. Elijah was there. Don't they have anything to say? No. Their day is over. The law has served its purpose to bring man to the end of himself. The prophet has brought man to God. He served his purpose. It's the day of grace. It's the day for the Son of God. No more the servants of God, but the Son of God. Are you listening, people? Who choose to be a servant? But just because the Son chooses to be a servant, don't you forget, he's the Son of God.
How to believe God when you find you don't have the faith to go on. Maybe there are some things in your life that you're believing God for, but you've come to a place where you're a bit discouraged. You don't know what else to do. Well, this message is for you. Once God gives you a promise, it is not for you to use your faith. It is for you to rest in the one that promised that he is faithful. Faith is nothing more than looking to Jesus.
Find encouragement for your situation with Joseph's latest 4-CD audio series, Rest in His Faith and Receive Your Miracle, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry today. Call now and you will also receive a bonus 2021 wall calendar. And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will also receive Joseph's brand new book, Give Me This Mountain. Go from barely surviving to actually thriving in your greatest challenges. Let Joseph bring you on a thought-provoking journey of how to take on the mountains in your life with unstoppable faith. You don't want to miss this limited-time offer. Get this special collection for you and your loved ones today. Request your copy now and get a bonus 2021 wall calendar. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org.
Matthew 17, look up here. This is my message. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. He was transfigured, his face shone, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Don't forget, Peter, James, and John, they are also there, but they are sleeping. Next verse. Peter answered, Peter woke up. All three woke up. All right, we find they were sleeping in another gospel. Account of transfiguration. They woke up. Peter answered, no one asked him. And he said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles. Now, don't think of a building. There's no time to make a building. It was probably during the Feast of Tabernacles. During the Feast of Tabernacles, even now, the Jewish people, towards the end of the year, about September, October, they have a Feast of Tabernacles. In fact, it's the most joyous and celebratory of all the 7 feasts. And during this Feast of Tabernacles, they were built Sukkot. Sukkot means temporary shelter, made of willows, made of all kinds of plants. And they would stay outside their house to commemorate that they were people wandering in the wilderness, living in temporary shelters. You see, the thing is this. He's putting Jesus on the same level as the law giver and the law restorer. You cannot do that. There are many, many believers today who put Jesus on grace on the same level as the law and the law restorer. Some of them feel that they are law restorers. They are fighting for the law to be restored. And guess what? God the Father will not allow that. The Father spoke. Next verse. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him, singular, not hear them. Moses was there. Elijah was there. Don't they have anything to say? No. Their day is over. The law has served its purpose to bring man to the end of himself. The prophet has brought man to God. He served his purpose. It's the day of grace. It's a day for the Son of God. No more the servants of God, but the Son of God. Amen. Are you listening, people? Who choose to be a servant. But just because the Son chooses to be a servant, don't you forget, he's the Son of God. Can I have a good amen, church? So, here we have a bright cloud. See the word bright cloud? It's a Shekinah glory, the same one that dwelt in the Holy of Holies in the temple. Now it overshadowed them. Now this is amazing because when the law, the Ten Commandments, was given on another mountain, the Bible says there was a dark cloud. Where Jesus is, there's a bright cloud. One cloud to condemn, another cloud to reveal his righteousness. You see, I love, you know, there's a counterpart of this being flanked by Moses and Elijah. It is found in Romans 3. Look at Romans 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, Moses, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. People who advocate bringing back the law, they don't realize by the law is not the knowledge of holiness. I repeat, by the law is not the knowledge of holiness, but the knowledge of sin. It is not the knowledge of God. But now, say now. You want to leave now or you live in the past? You want the latest revelation from God? The latest revelation from God is grace. The latest revelation came through the Son. There's no other revelation. And God says, now the righteousness of God, which is a gift, apart from the law, apart from the law, is not God give you the gift of righteousness, but you must still keep the law. It's apart from the law. Righteousness today is a gift. And you know how it came? You know how it came? This gift was witness, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Wow. Even the law says amen to the gift of righteousness. Even the prophets say amen. So in other words, the law hears Moses and the prophets Elijah. They both witness grace is what you must listen to today. The Son of God is what you must listen, who you must listen to today. Are you with me? And the Bible says, go back to Matthew 17. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. Next verse. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one. Moses is gone. No one. Elijah was gone. They saw no one but Jesus only. Amen. May this be the theme of our church and our ministry, yes. To see no one but Jesus only. Amen. No matter how illustrious Elijah may be, no matter how great Moses may be, saw no one but Jesus only. Now the Father just said, hear him. They were all afraid. They were all face down. The Bible says Jesus came, touched them. This is the first time Jesus spoke. Right after the Father says, listen to Jesus, you wonder what he will say if you're the disciple down there, all right? Now you read, you know what he said. But imagine you are trembling and the Father says, listen to Jesus. What will he say? What will he say? Then he came, not only he touched them, personal touch, warmth. And he says, arise and don't be afraid. It is not a commandment. It's not a law like the Ten Commandments. It's grace. This is what the world rejected that Peter, James, and John saw. At the end of this Matthew what? What chapter is this? I'm bringing this to a close. Matthew what? 17. In Luke's account is the Mount of Transfiguration appears in Luke 9. All right? Mark, the Transfiguration appears in Mark 9. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three has the Mount of Transfiguration and they all have meanings in the chapter. They all end, except for Mark. Mark, there's another revelation. I'll share another day because of time. I'll just share Matthew and Luke, how it ends. Okay? These two chapters on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew and Luke. Look at how it ends. Look at Matthew 17. This is how it ends. It ends like this. When they had come to Capernaum, Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? So they did not come to Jesus, they come to Peter. Does not your teacher pay the temple tax? By the way, just let you know that in the law, in the law of Moses, there's a temple tax. It's called the atonement money. And in those days, each person, rich or poor, must pay the same amount, which is a picture of the blood of Jesus. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, it's the same blood of Jesus that saves you.
Amen.
Watch this. The temple tax people came and asked Peter. They did not ask Jesus. Does your master not pay temple tax? What's Peter's answer? Peter said, yes. Very fast. Yes. He said yes too fast. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him saying, what do you think, Simon? Jesus stopped Simon. He was about to collect the money. Jesus stopped him. Say, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their own sons or from strangers? When a king conquers a country, who does he take taxes from? From his own sons or from strangers? So Jesus asking Peter the question. Why is he asking Peter this question? It's about the temple tax. Because Peter said what? Yes, too fast. The temple tax is for the maintenance of the temple. The temple was built for God. His son is here. His son does not pay temple tax. He is greater than the temple.
Amen.
From whom do the kings of the earth take custom of taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter answered, from strangers. Jesus said, then the sons are free. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
It means what? He didn't have to pay. And he says sons, plural, because you and I will become sons of God.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Amen.
Amen. The tithe is not the temple tax here. So don't think about the tithe. The tithe is an expression of faith, Abraham, and Melchizedek, which is not a revelation altogether. This is temple tax. Jesus says, then the sons are free. Are you listening?
Amen.
That means what? He's the son. You see, unbeknownst to him, or I should say, unconsciously, Peter lowered Jesus, just like he did in the Mount of Transfiguration. Albeit his motive is right. He was doing it for the honor of Jesus. He didn't want people to think that Jesus didn't pay taxes, but he was looking at Jesus as a man. He didn't know, in being zealous for Jesus' glory, he actually lowered him. Who was he listening to? He forgot the lesson. This is the same chapter, Matthew 17. Same chapter, the Mount of Transfiguration. How soon is the lesson forgotten? He's still thinking of Moses and what Moses says about the temple tax. He's not even asking the son. The father just told him, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And here before the chapter ends, Peter again listens to Moses. Now, in case we are too hard on Peter, how many of us find it very hard to look at grace and follow grace completely? We still have the law we listen to. But the law says, the law was given by a servant. Grace came through the son.
Amen.
The servant does not abide in the house forever. The son does. Was Jesus offended? He was very patient with Peter. Look at what Jesus says. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. You know how supernatural this is, isn't it? Demons say, put a bait. Go, and not only many fish, you know, you try until you find one. The first fish, bring up the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. That money in the Greek is the stater, which is a half shekel, drachma, drachma. Take that and give it to them for me and you. And you even paid Peter's temple tax. So first he said that he is the son of the father. Does the son of the father pay the temple tax? No. Then he says, you know what? Lest we offend them. Peter, go. Go to the sea, throw a hook, bring up the first fish. In the mouth, there's a coin. You see? Peter forgot. But you know something? In Luke 9, we don't have time to see everything, but in Luke 9, with Luke's account of the Mount of Transfiguration, it goes on towards the end, it's James and John. Remember how many were there? Peter, James, and John. So Peter didn't learn his lesson, all right? And Jesus was very patient, say patient, with Peter, amen? Even bless him, paid for his temple tax. Isn't our Lord wonderful? Look up here, Jesus went to Samaria. If you read the same account of the Mount of Transfiguration in the same portion, towards the end, towards the latter part of the chapter, you will find Jesus walking into Samaria. Yep. And the Bible says his face was set as if he's going to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem to die. Now, the Samaritans don't like people who think that Jerusalem is greater than Mount Gerizim. So they rejected Jesus. They didn't give him the welcome, all right? They didn't treat him kindly. And who spoke up? James and John. Just now we saw Peter, now James and John. Same chapter as the Mount of Transfiguration in Luke. James and John says, Lord, shall we call fire down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? So Peter was looking to Moses. James and John, they were looking to Elijah as an example. Jesus turned around, rebuked them, the Bible says. Jesus rebuked them, not the Samaritans who treated him unkindly. He rebuked his disciples, James and John. And he says, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And he went to another village. Wow. Both chapters of the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew and Luke, Matthew ends with Peter not learning the lesson. James and John not learning the lesson. One looks at Moses, the other two looks at Elijah. I'll tell you something. Today my ministry is blessed by God. We are truly favored all over the world. But the voices of opposition is also strong. And let me tell you this, some of them say nasty things about me, but you won't hear me saying nasty things about them. I've learned the spirit of the Lord. You see, in James and John, Jesus says you don't know what kind of spirit you are of. They are the spirit of Elijah, which is judgment. But Jesus says you're not the spirit of grace. In Peter's case, it's a question of what? You are looking to the law. You're not looking to grace. But mind you, these people that some of them, they come against you because if your church is small, they won't come against you. So that group we put one side, okay? And then there are people, in other words, there are people who are jealous. When actually all we have, we receive from God. Yeah. Amen. Amen? They can also receive from God. We are nothing special. But there's another group where they attack you because they think that you are lowering Moses. They think you are forgetting what the law says or what the prophet says. And they are sincere. They think that we are undermining the glory of the master. Just like Peter did. When Peter said yes, do you think Peter was trying to lower Jesus? No. He had good intentions. He wanted the people to think that Jesus pays his taxes. He wanted them to think well of Jesus. In other words, he was motivated by the glory of Jesus. But it's not enough to have the motive right. Many people who are promoting the law, they think that this will glorify the Lord because we are bringing holiness back to the church. They don't realize their intention is right. Their promotion is wrong. What about James and John? Were James and John slighted because of themselves? Was it that the people, the Samaritans, mistreated them? No. Again, they saw the Samaritans mistreating Jesus. Didn't give him the official welcome. They were zealous for the glory of their Lord. Again, motive is right. But then, the answer is what? Judgment on these people. Jesus says, you're not the spirit of grace. Yours is the spirit of judgment. So there are people who think when they promote judgment is coming to Singapore, judgment is coming to America, judgment is coming. These people are sincere about wanting to glorify the Lord. They believe when they preach like this, Jesus is glorified. Yeah. It's not enough to have both Peter, James, and John, all right? They had the right intentions, but the wrong promotion. One is a spirit of judgment. Jesus says, Jesus rebuked that. The other one is the law. Going back to the law, Jesus rebuked that. Wow. Look up here, people. You know Moses, you know how Moses felt? By the way, I must tell you this is important. You know when Moses, Elijah appeared and talked to Jesus, you know what they talk about? know what they talk about? All right, show them Luke. Who appeared in glory, Moses, Elijah appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Notice, which he was about to accomplish. Didn't talk about death will overtake you, but you are going to accomplish your death. That means what? Power over death. Is described as something he was going to accomplish. So the heavenly conversation that night on the mount that shone brighter than the sun was all about his death. You know, in heaven one day, the grandest subject will be his death, the lamb slain for us. Amen. And they spoke about his decease, his death. But the word decease here, literally in the Greek, exodus. He's leaving this world. His exodus. Do you know exodus means decease or depart? Watch this. You know how Moses depart? Not very good, isn't it? He's a grand, wonderful man. And I hate to point finger, but look at this. Towards the last year of his life, he hit the rock twice in disobedience. He yelled at the people, spoke unadvisedly with his lips, and God says, you're not going in the promised land. He was impatient. That's how his ministry ended. Yeah. But good luck, God's grace is up there. Yeah. So he ended with impatience. Huh? He failed. What about Elijah? You know what's the end of Elijah's life? Elijah's biggest mistake was this. He thought that Jezebel woman was greater than God. He was afraid of her than God. His ministry ended by him saying, God, I'm the only one left. And God says, you don't know. There are 7,000. I have 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal. That's how his ministry ended. Discouragement. So one ended in failure, hitting the rock. The other one ended in discouragement. And the mantle went to Elisha. Watch this. There's a prophecy of the Messiah in Isaiah. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one. Talking about Jesus now. Drop down, verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break. By the way, you will see this quotation in Matthew 12 about Jesus Christ. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. But look at verse 4. He will not fail, nor be discouraged. Moses failed. Not be discouraged. Elijah failed. Where they failed, Jesus succeeded. Where they were discouraged, Jesus wasn't. He went all the way to the cross. He was patient. He didn't hit Peter with his words. He was patient with Peter, even paid his tax. Amen. And he wasn't discouraged with the Samaritan's rejection. See, you put all the greatest men, and these are the greatest men, in the Old Testament. Put them all together, everyone fades away compared to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, church.
How to believe God when you find you don't have the faith to go on. Maybe there are some things in your life that you're believing God for, but you've come to a place where you're a bit discouraged. You don't know what else to do. Well, this message is for you. Once God gives you a promise, it is not for you to use your faith. It is for you to rest in the one that promised that he is faithful. Faith is nothing more than looking to Jesus.
Find encouragement for your situation with Joseph's latest 4-CD audio series, Rest in His Faith and Receive Your Miracle, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry today. Call now and you will also receive a bonus 2021 wall calendar. And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will also receive Joseph's brand new book, Give Me This Mountain. Go from barely surviving to actually thriving in your greatest challenges. Let Joseph bring you on a thought-provoking journey of how to take on the mountains in your life with unstoppable faith. You don't want to miss this limited-time offer. Get this special collection for you and your loved ones today. Request your copy now and get a bonus 2021 wall calendar. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org.
Hey, Lord. These are pretty scary times. The never-ending climb for these dreams has been exhausting. I know you've promised me so much more. I just don't have the strength to believe. Now here, in the stillness, I hear you. Your presence has become my strength. My faith may fail, but you never do. The incline that used to daunt me, I now see as steps you've placed before me. And I believe that you are able to give me this mountain.
From Joseph Prince comes a brand new book, Give Me This Mountain.
We all face mountains today. It might not be a physical mountain, but maybe it's a negative situation standing in your way. I wrote my latest book, Give Me This Mountain, to tell you that no matter how contrary your circumstances might be, His plan is for you to thrive, not just survive, even on the roughest terrains of life.
Call us toll free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org/newbook today.
Hey, I'm Joseph Prince. I'm so excited to share with you about Decibel. Decibel is the ministry's online channel specially designed for young adults. We have created bite-sized, grace-based content such as videos, articles, and so much more. We started Decibel as I saw our young people growing up in a world where their values, beliefs, and faith are constantly challenged. I personally hope that it will give them biblical and practical handles to help them navigate their world with God's grace and wisdom. I'm sure you agree that this next generation is too important a missions field for us to neglect. They need to hear the gospel of grace. Thank you for sowing the gospel of grace into this next generation. Your support goes a long way and reaches young people in great need of our Lord Jesus. God bless you.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.